More than two-thirds of all senior executive service members will be eligible for retirement in the next 5 years. You've probably heard that one. And few agencies are doing enough to ensure the next generation of leaders are prepared for the SES ranks. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller is here with details on some promising practices that are emerging to better recruit and train the next set of senior executives in government. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom and Emily.
And nice to have you live in studio with us this morning. Which agencies are finding success, and what are they doing to keep that pipeline full of qualified SESers?
Well, as you guys heard about on your show yesterday, a new report by the Partnership for Public Service and McKinsey & Company show that the SES Cup Board could be pretty bare in the coming decade. The report shows several agencies have promising programs, however, to replenish their SES pipeline. One of them is the Treasury Department. Treasury created the Treasury Executive Institute to educate GS-13s and 15s, and also to encourage mentoring and sharing among current SESers. Nani Corletti is Treasury's Assistant Secretary for Management and Chief Financial Officer. She says the TEI is open to all federal employees on a fee-for-service basis. Corletti says Treasury, like many agencies, they're developing a strategic plan required under the Government Performance Results Act Modernization Act that will address, among other things, workforce issues. Now, I caught up with Corletti after she participated in a panel discussion on the Partnership and McKinsey report in Washington Tuesday.
What we're also doing in response to some of the changes that are coming our way is a top-to-bottom leadership assessment of every SES and try to really understand and tailor what's offered to what people really need. And that is really our look-see, our stepping back, including talking and dialogue with the leadership of every bureau at Treasury right now. So we're doing that over the next few months.
And that's the 360 reviews that you mentioned?
360 reviews are part of that. 2 years ago, we did a 360 review in partnership with OPM of all of our SES candidates, and I think that's a really great way to get a whole look at across bureaus at all of your SES. And we are continuing to use that as an assessment tool, and it helps us understand how we compare to the rest of government on several of the leadership and executive qualifications across government.
Now, Corletti says research will help Treasury understand how it's preparing leaders today and with succession planning. She says the data will also help inform the department's strategic plan and potentially create new courses at the Treasury Executive Institute. Now, along with Treasury, the Veterans Affairs Department is putting a huge focus on creating leaders. It stems from Secretary Eric Shinseki's previous life as an Army general and the general officer approach that he preferred that takes place in the Army. Now, VA created a new office to oversee and centralize SES and senior leadership development. Christina Clue is the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Corporate Senior Executive Management. She says VA officials pushed back at first heavily against the idea of a centralized SES process and oversight.
We have VA senior leaders coming in. We have the IG coming in and talking about red lines and talking about how you can derail, how you can get in trouble. One of the things that we've seen a lot of value in is bringing executives in VA together from across organizational lines. Some of them, when we started doing this, had never been in an event with executives outside of their organization. That was the most amazing feedback we got, how much they appreciated that. And we initially forced executives to go to our training, our strategic leadership training that we do at University of North Carolina. And some of them went kicking and screaming. Others, you know, had somebody dying every time the session came up. So we have one who still has not gone. But by day two, you saw them starting to unfold their arms a little bit and starting to listen. And by the end of the week, they were new change agents for us.
Nicole says online training is good. It's useful, but nothing replaces that in-person training she talks about, because it creates those networks and trust relationships. Now, VA is doing very well with this. In fact, it created a new executive review board made up of 50 SESers from around the country that have six-month terms to review candidates. Now, this opened the door to many new candidates. She says VA is hiring about 30% of all senior executives from outside the agency, which is one metric to show this type of training is working. Now, Clue also says VA simplified the process to apply for SES positions. Usually, they had 3 to 5 mandatory qualifications, which basically froze out any non-VA or even non-federal people. Now there are 1, maybe 2 qualifications that open up the gates to many others.
Every executive in VA, there's an executive transition plan that's developed for every executive before he or she is hired. And the executive transition plan looks at the requirements of the position, what that nominee brings to the table and addresses the gap for 90 to 120 days out. And some of it, quite frankly, is technical. So we're selecting the best leaders, but that individual coming from Home Depot has no idea what it's like to deal with a union in government or, you know, employee relations or hiring. So there's an intense kind of crash course on that, or there's a coach or a mentor to help with that.
And we're speaking with Federal News Radio's Jason Miller about the SES pipeline. So what role does the Office of Personnel Management play in all of this?
Well, they play two big roles. One is training and the other is around guidance. And it's not the type of guidance where it says, you know, do this, do that. It's more the type that help agencies develop their own leadership development programs. Steve Shee is OPM's Deputy Associate Director for Senior Executive Services and Performance Management. He says OPM is about to give agencies some help in both of those areas.
We actually just recently issued a supervisory training framework and guidance. This is a follow-up to our executive onboarding framework and guidance. The onboarding framework and guidance obviously focuses on bringing in new executives. The supervisory training framework and guidance provides an outline for the recommended and mandatory training for new supervisors and managers, as well as aspiring leaders, and basically gives agencies a structure on how to go about ensuring that their new supervisors and managers and aspiring leaders really get the kinds of leadership training they need.
One of the things you mentioned was it's not a one-size-fits-all. Everybody's a little different. Every agency's a little different. So does this framework just kind of give the broad brushstrokes?
Our products provide an outline or a framework that provides information on standard approaches and strategic areas for training and leadership development. Within that framework, then, we give agencies flexibilities to really tailor their approach based upon their own needs and their resources levels.
Now, she says OPM also provides best practices and products that they benchmark against the public and private sectors to help agencies see where they're at. He says the goal is to provide standards to ensure consistency in how agencies develop future SESers. Now, to that end, OPM also is about to release two other tools for agencies in the coming weeks.
We're developing currently a managerial development framework and curriculum, which will focus more on the senior supervisory level. This is basically the individuals that are getting ready to get into the senior executive service.
You mentioned a new online training process around executive excellence and wellness. What's that going to cover?
We're hoping to issue this week this excellent online training product that I'm extremely excited about and very proud. It mirrors a lot of my personal as well as my current policy experiences and philosophies. This training is going to be entitled Executive Excellence and Wellness Through Strategic Leadership. And the idea is to really focus on helping executives not only succeed in their jobs, but also in their personal lives so that they're healthy and can continue providing excellent leadership to the federal government.
Now, she says the Executive Excellence and Wellness training focuses on teaching senior officials to be strategic at work as well as in life by figuring out their priorities and balancing their work and personal lives and stop being so reactive and random. Something we all can try to achieve.
Well, that sounds like good advice, but what I want to know is how is this problem different from the retirement wave we have been hearing about for many years, but it seems to never actually happen except in dribs and drabs?
Yeah, it feels like this is just an extension of that conversation in many ways. But the Partnership for Public Service and McKinsey report, which we do have linked up on federalnewsradio.com, showed that this retirement wave is actually a huge part of the problem. The report looked at SES hires in 2002 and where they are in 2012. And it found of the 6,086 SESers in 2002, 65% left federal service by 2012. Most of them, 85% of that 65%, left because of retirement versus other reasons. Now, it also looked at GS-13s to 15s, you know, those same people that could be potentially be SESers during that same decade, and found 43% left federal service. And of that 43%, 87% of them retired. So as you see, very, very high retirement numbers. People are either staying or they're leaving.
It also indicates, though, that these people who are the high GS grades are probably the in the same generation of folks as the SES. It's just that some are SES and some are GS-15s, so they're retiring at the same age. Why are they going to wait out their colleague who's the same age?
And that's part of it. Go ahead, Tom.
No, I was going to say the other issue is who cares what the percentage is if someone leaves your agency or several people and they're very senior, you got a problem regardless of what's happening elsewhere in the government.
Well, two things, I think, to address Emily's point. The first is there's always this talk about this bathtub effect. You have a lot of people in the you know, 3 to 5 to 7 years and a lot of people at the 20, 25, 30 years, but the middle is pretty low, pretty bare. I think that's one thing. The other issue that I've heard time and again is the SES slots. There's only so many per agency. So if you're a GS 15 Step 10, which is the highest GS level, number one, you may be making more than the SES, so why would you want to go be an SES? But number two is you may have to wait out your boss, who may not plan to retire for 5 or 10 or 12 years, and you're not that much younger than them. So you say, well, maybe I'll just go look in the private sector where the grass maybe is a little greener. I've got my 30, 35 years, and maybe I'm done, or even 20 or 25 years.
It becomes a death watch at that point, and that's never great for a career, you know, unless you can get
to another agency. Or morale. So what this report is saying is not only do you have to train people, but you have to have a candidate development program. You have to really focus on getting people to say, here's my career path, and this is how I can end up where I want to end up, whether it's an SES or just a senior manager at the 15 level.
And just a final detail question, Jason, and that is, did anyone mention the tight budgets and whether it's feasible to take people off campus for training at one of the colleges or one of those training centers?
Yeah, that absolutely came up at the panel discussion yesterday. And basically, the responses, which I always love this type of response, you can't afford not to. Well, I think a lot of agencies would go, yeah, you can, because there's no money for it. But something like the Treasury Executive Institute, that's a good example. Nani Corletti talked about that. She goes, that is kind of pre-funded by each of the Treasury bureaus. There's already has a certain amount of dollars that they're putting toward that. VA, for instance, in their training, I think that is also another pre-funded. Now, if you get to some of the smaller agencies that don't have a generous budget like Treasury and VA, they may have more trouble, more challenges. And that's where OPM comes in with the HR University and the Federal Executive Institute that maybe are lower cost or have some more stuff online.
And you get off campus, or to a campus, rather, where there's always full bowls of granola bars.
Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. Jason, thanks so much for joining us.
Always a pleasure. And-